Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Delta makes a commitment you'll want to know about, and the state of Alaska's plan to make COVID testing mandatory for travelers is complicated. Updates on these stories next.
Hawaii has been under quarantine since mid-March, and now rumors its tourists will be welcomed back in July. We'll hear from the Beat of Hawaii guys in our Smarter Traveler segment. That's at 3:20.
You know, Tom, the Beat of Hawaii guys, damn, their office is a beach.
Yeah, I know. I'm just a little bit jealous here from this travel guy, for sure.
The number of people flying is climbing, but it's still only about 15% of normal. For those of us who may be flying soon, what has changed? Chris Galloway joins us at 3:35 to share his flight and airport experiences from this past week.
There are a few differences in the way you get through security at airports these days. Dale and Sid from the TSA updates us at 3:50.
A busy day for a travel show, considering most of us are travel wannabes at this point. Someday, the journey awaits. In the meantime, thanks for joining the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
To Alaska, I go north, the rush is on.
Oh, I was born a rambling man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66. Let it roll.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, a fully packed radio program ahead. So we're not going to goof around too much here today, Mark. It's nothing but business, business, business.
No goofing around.
There you go. Hope you're well. By the way, I heard you had a little event. You and some of your for Sports Leisure Vacations. You going to have some time to talk about that later on?
I am. We did a drive-through travel event yesterday here at the Sports Leisure offices with some success. We'll talk about it a little bit later.
All right. Well, without any further ado, let's do what we always do. There was a lot of doo-doos in there, weren't there?
A lot of doo-doos, yeah.
Yeah, at the top of each Travel Guys radio show, we bring you the travel news. Mark, what's
nothing
the latest,
but,
my friend?
Nothing but doo-doo. As we mentioned in the headlines, this is kind of big news from Delta Airlines. United has taken some flack recently for having planes that were packed full. Of course, I think that's kind of the point if you run an airline. However, Delta Airlines has said that they will block middle seat selection, and they're capping their cabin capacity until the end of September, which is quite a commitment, especially if travel turns around in the middle of the summer. It means Delta's going to have to start running some new planes. They are going to cap first class seating at 50%, 60% in main cabin. That's their Delta Comfort or their premium coach selections, 75% in regular coach. And the only way you can get a middle seat is if you ask for one specifically. Otherwise, they are going to block middle seats on all of their aircraft, and they're going to block some on some of the smaller aircraft that are 2 and 2. They will block some of the one seat on each side in order to keep it from being 4 across. So Chris Galloway is going to check in with an update on airplane travel, because he came to Sacramento a few days ago and sat down with us. And as we talk, he's successfully winging his way back to the other side of the country. So we'll have an update from Chris coming up a little bit later on in the program after the bottom of the hour. Alaska, Hawaii, Florida, Texas. You go to some place, even in the United States, and you're from the wrong place, you're looking at a 14-day quarantine. So, I mean, I'm just telling you, if you're one of the folks who's getting on an airplane sometime soon, gosh, make certain that the place that you're going will take you when you get there. And that whatever rules that they have, you can meet. And the reason I say this is because the rules for Alaska have changed. Let's see, June 2nd, June the 4th, June the 5th. There's going to be another set issued tomorrow. It's an update issued tomorrow. So they've changed 3 times last week in terms of how you could get into the state of Alaska. So what you have to have, whether you need to test before you leave for home and carry the test with you, test when you get there, what happens if you don't test when you arrive, what happens if you're positive, and they haven't really been able to make up their mind, much like the folks in Hawaii. Speaking of guests, we'll have the guys from Beat of Hawaii on in the next segment to talk about that. But some of these places are not coming down with definitive answers, so make certain if you're about to travel even to another one of these United States, and heck, going through connecting airports even, have some rules about masks and stuff like that, so make sure that you know what's going on. You kind of have to do your homework plus. Or Universal Orlando Resort has just reopened. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can find a report on what it was like to visit a theme park now that it's open. The California Disney Orlando's have not opened, and Universal's have not opened yet, but that will be coming soon. But anyway, a report on Universal Orlando and how that worked when they reopened. The cruise industry says they are seeing a rise in bookings, and some folks say they are turning a corner there. For the first time in a long time, they're having more bookings than cancellations. The cruise industry says, admittedly, most of these bookings are for 2021 or early 2022, but they are encouraged by the fact that folks seem to be lining up for some of the deals that they're offering. The United States has scrapped a ban on Chinese airlines, but it's going to limit the number of flights. The Chinese have reciprocated by limiting the number of U.S. flights. Delta and United are eager to see that ban lifted or the caps extended, because there is more demand for China flights now than they've seen in quite a while. Marriott Hotels has been ordered to cease their operations in Cuba by the Trump administration. They operate a four-point Sheraton in Havana that has to close by the end of August. Marriott also has some other hotels in production down in under construction down in Cuba, or was working on deals to acquire some other hotels, and now that will all have to be put on hold. And finally, here in the travel news, Tom, Las Vegas is back open. I figured that would be of interest. You probably already knew that because you're occasionally
yeah,
a Las
I've
Vegas
been watching,
guy.
I've been watching. I'm extremely patient in regards to wanting to do this, but yeah.
Yeah, well, they have reopened, of course. Only about half the slot machines, 50% of the slots are available. They're limiting the number of players. Now, you play blackjack, so three players at blackjack, four at roulette and poker. Three players at blackjack wouldn't matter, but to poker players, they don't like playing at short tables with only three or four players. So my guess is that six players at craps, so that's probably okay. They said that business is very light in Las Vegas so far. You can get in and get out to everything easily, and that restaurants, even though they're only offering partial capacity, are not very crowded. So good time to go to Las Vegas if that's on your list. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Once again, you can follow along and get links to our special guests on the program at travelguysradio.com. Don't forget now the Beat of Hawaii. We're going to talk with those folks after the break. Back half of the hour, Chris Galloway talks about getting back on planes and what it's been like. And finally, Dale and Sid in the last quarter hour with the TSA. We'll talk about that. That's all coming up right here on the Travel Guys.
It's time for Just One Man's Opinion. Here's Mark Hoffman.
It's been a tough spring for small business owners. The COVID crisis has impacted almost every one of us. People aren't traveling or shopping or, until last week, even getting a haircut. Small businesses and the people who work for them have had a tough go of it. Bummer. All that makes it all the more notable that yesterday, over 200 customers of a local tour operator made an appearance at a drive-through tour preview day. Okay, so I'm taking a liberty here and talking about my own company, the underwriter of this show, Sports Leisure Vacations. Saturday, our twice-postponed and still-can't-be-held Spring Preview Day, became a parking-lot-style event, along the lines of those drive-through graduations, except our students are just a few years older. People can't really venture far from home currently, and no one really knows when that will safely change. Yet all those good people came out yesterday to say hello, pick up information about new trips, and show their support. How cool is that? For a few hours, there were a ton of extended hugs, fist bumps, smiles, and many reunions among traveling friends. One traveler decorated her car like it was going in a parade, and as part of how we roll, folks brought piles of socks and pet food to donate to Loaves and Fishes. Big piles. When our gang gathers, we try to make sure someone in the community benefits. Heck, even former Sacramento State President Lloyd Johns came by with his wife as part of his 90th birthday celebration. Happy birthday, Lloyd. To those who might be listening who came out yesterday or have supported Sports Leisure Vacations through the years, I offer a very humble thank you. A great staff, wonderful loyal customers. Tomorrow marks our 41st birthday. All business owners should be so lucky. And that is just one man's opinion.
Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the travel and entertainment guys. Thanks for joining us. Remember now, links to all of our special guests can be found at our website, as well as a lot of other cool stuff that make you a smarter traveler. And that's at travelguysradio.com.
And today we have, to make you a smarter traveler, we have a couple of our favorite guys from Hawaii. Jeff and Rob are joining us from Beat of Hawaii, which is a terrific website for finding out information about Hawaii and not even always the kind of information that you would usually come by. Jeff and Rob, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Thanks for having us again. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. How did Beat of Hawaii start? You guys have become very popular. Sometimes you throw out things and get hundreds of comments from people. How did the idea of a Hawaiian website?
Well, this is Rob, and actually, it started with me. I was going to Australia on a trip, and I decided to blog about it. And when I got back to Hawaii, I was just curious if there were people blogging about Hawaii. And as I researched at the time, I found that a lot of people who were doing that did not live here in Hawaii. They lived on the mainland. And I said to Jeff, you know, we're right here. We've always been tied into travel. Jeff's an expert with travel and analysis. And I said, let's do it. And so we started publishing it. And then we just had like maybe 30 subscribers at a time, or, you know, just a very small number. And then about 6 months after we started publishing Beat of Hawaii, the website crashed because Arthur Frommer, we didn't realize this, but had been following Beat of Hawaii. And he wrote about us nationally on his website and said, if you're a fan of the Hawaiian Islands, rush quick to Beat of Hawaii. And just changed everything for us.
That's been our motto ever since.
Yes, right.
Rob and Jeff with Beat of Hawaii, what's the status over on the islands?
Okay, so this is Jeff. And so we're waiting. The governor said this week that he will let us know when mainland travel will resume next week. He'd already indicated that it wouldn't happen on July 1st, which many of the stakeholders in the industry had been hoping for. And he also hasn't said exactly on what basis it's going to be reopening. We saw that the state of Alaska is trying to do it with testing. We're not clear where the state of Hawaii is going to be, but we do expect to know in the next week. And we're looking forward to sharing that with all our visitors as quickly as we do.
Excellent. And so, guys, if some of the airlines are thinking that they're coming back July the 1st, obviously, the restart of tourism in Hawaii can't be too far away, but what are we going to be facing when that happens? Will there be mandatory testing? A lot of things have been floated. Do we have any idea? Your governor is not a real popular person among local people. What's your feeling as to when tourism might start back up? And then the other thing is, are the local people going to be ready and eager to welcome tourists, or are they kind of getting... they're kind of liking the islands without tourists?
Oh, that's a very good question. This is Rob. So many of us are tied into tourism here with hotels, activities, marketing, every vacation rentals, everything. And so, people want tourism back. It's true that right now there's not very much traffic. The beaches are not crowded, but that comes with a price. And the price is that we don't have that income coming into the state. So I think people are going to feel that they are welcomed back to the islands, that we really, really want that aloha spirit to be there and to welcome people back to Hawaii. That's very important. That's what I think.
And this is Jeff. And as for a date, you know, probably the most optimistic date for travel to resume without 14-day quarantine is July 15th. I think more realistically is August 1st.
So if you've got a reservation for Hawaii after August 1st, you may be okay. Do you guys think that there will be COVID testing required to come to the islands or not? What's your feeling on that?
This is Jeff. So my feeling is that the lieutenant governor, who's a physician, and the governor, who's an engineer, would both like to see that happen. But whether or not that is a practicality that can be implemented to start travel, we don't know. We're also hearing about random testing of visitors on arrival. So, you know, we're just not clear about it. We know there is testing like at pharmacies in California, and that may be adequate. We don't know. But we know that Washington, state of Washington, does not offer that at this time. And that is one of the largest sources of visitors after California. So how would that fit into the mix? And then there have been these unusual and heated discussions about this concept of travel bubbles, whether people from certain places would or could legally be allowed to come here while others were not. And that's still out there. So we're looking to have a lot of interesting answers in the next week from our government about how this is going to happen.
All right, guys, before we let you go here, we've talked a lot about very heavy issues. You guys live on Kauai, which is absolutely one of the greatest places in the planet and in the islands when you get there. Always has been one of my favorites since many years ago. I stayed at the Kauai Beach Boy there near Kapa'a, and I think our first group paid $45 a night to stay at that little hotel, which has become partially a condo now. If folks are coming to Kauai, Rob and Jeff, what's something that maybe something from each of you? Give us a little something that might be off the beaten track or something we might look up next time we're in town.
Well, I got to tell you, when you mentioned Kauai Beach Boy, the very first time I came to Kauai, that is exactly where I stayed too. How about that for a coincidence?
Wow. And you probably paid the same amount of money.
I might have paid the same amount. I don't know. Jeff and I, we're avid swimmers. We swim about a mile and a half twice a week at Hanalei. And we just love summer swimming.
And we do that there. While we're planning Beat of Hawaii.
While we're planning Beat of Hawaii, right? We get our best ideas out there in the ocean.
That's what a
right.
tough gig.
And that's my number one summer recommendation on Kauai is Hanalei Bay. It is, you know, I've been on that beach, you know, since I was a kid, and it's never been better than it is today. Living here, we took the boat trip up the river, and it was really, really good.
But even without the boat trip, you can go and see these heiau even around the Lygate Park area.
Yeah.
And so, and there's a fascinating video that just came out recently about this.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you guys so much. The name of the website is Beat of Hawaii. Beatofhawaii.com. Right. We will put a link to it at travelguysradio.com. So if you're driving around and you forget, you can look it up later on. Guys, it is the website. It is my go-to website for Hawaii. You never know what you will find at Beat of Hawaii. You have to and look every day because you never know what these guys are going to come up with. Thank you so much for a little bit of your time today and your expertise. You guys are in the islands. You have really do have a feel for the Beat of Hawaii, and we will talk again soon.
Okay.
Always good talking with you. Thank you.
Aloha.
All right. Aloha and mahalo, guys.
Well, you know, this happens quite often. We interview somebody like this, and I think to myself, you know, why didn't I think of that? Especially somebody like you, Mark, who is a Hawaii guy and travel, you know, right, have a website and hang out and sit on the beach and come up with great thoughts that you could share with people in regards to the islands. Anyway, well, congratulations to them. And I've been poking around on that website since this interview, and there's all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, well, they're really nice guys, and they have some great stuff. And like, they'll throw out a question or something that sometimes they'll get 200 or 300 responses. So they must have, and the responses come in like really fast, and so they must have a huge following. So Hawaii, sometime next week, the governor is going to get off his hiney and let something out. So it kind of seems to be, full disclosure, that interview was done a couple days ago. We think now it's looking pretty strongly like July the 15th for at least some type of arrivals, maybe August 1st for to get everybody back on board. Tom, I wanted to share something here since we're in our Smarter Traveler segment. We have just a minute. I wanted to share something. We've talked about this before on the program about way to save money when renting cars to rent them off airport. Because when you rent at an airport location, you pay a concession fee. Basically, the car rental company is paying the airport some money to do business there, and they're charging it to you. So generally, it's 10, 12, sometimes as much as 15%. There may be a little bit higher tax at an airport location. So what some people do is they come in, they get in the airport shuttle bus or walk to an airport hotel, they spend the night, and then the next day they go get the car, sometimes saving themselves a day car rental. And if they pick it up at an off-airport location, that is sometimes meant serious additional savings. However, the airports are getting wise to this because so many people are doing it. So now the airports are saying to the car rental companies, if you intentionally or even unintentionally divert business from us in this method, we're going to raise your, we're going to come back and get the money from you. So the car rental companies now, Enterprise has a rule in Salt Lake City that if you arrive within 24 hours by air and you rent it at a downtown location, at an off airport location, you are charged the airport concession fee. If you take a shuttle bus, if your car rental company has a shuttle bus at the airport, then you can pretty much be guaranteed that you're going to pay that concession fee no matter where they take you. But it's still possible to be able to go to an off-airport hotel location and the next day go and rent your car. And don't tell them that you're flying into the airport. It's none of their business. And you, or tell them you flew in a couple days before. You just need a car for a day or two. You're in town for a month, and that's what you need. But it is still considerably cheaper if you rent your car away from the airport, and if you can not be nailed for those airport concession fees. If that's not too complicated, does that make sense, Tom?
Yeah, it does. I'm aware of that. San Antonio was off-site nearby, but off-site you'd take shuttles for the longest time. And then they built a really, really nice parking structure, and in there are all the car rental places. Very nice and extremely convenient. And yep. You know, to be honest with you, I haven't really noticed the prices being that much more.
In San Diego, it's been a big problem in San Diego because, of course, in San Diego, downtown is so close and it's easy to rent a car there. So anyways, that's just a little tip for make you a smarter traveler.
All righty. Coming up after a quick news break, find out what the world's going on. Chris Galloway will join us. He has been on planes, and he's going to tell us what that experience is like. As recent as just a few days ago, here on the Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know.
Welcome. Hi there. This is Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. On board with us today is a buddy of Mark's, works with Sports Leisure Vacations, and just recently had an opportunity to board an airplane and fly.
What a radical thing to do.
I know.
Board an airplane.
It's been a long time since I've actually had a face-to-face with somebody that's flown, so I think it's going to be very enlightening to have Chris tell us about his experience. Welcome back to the Travel Guys, Chris.
Thank you, thank you.
So, on Wednesday of this week, you were hurtled through the air, through the sky at hundreds of miles an hour in a number of aluminum tubes.
With a face mask.
With a face mask, yes. Something that many of us can only aspire to do because, you know, flying now is only for the rich and elite. And there are so few flights anymore that, you know, you can only. So anyway, you came back here to Sacramento for a big Sports Leisure event, and you had the opportunity to fly on airplanes, go through TSA, eat or not eat at the airport. But let me just start by asking you, you know, you travel for a living. Mm-hmm. So what did this feel like going into the airport and getting on an airplane, and how did the other people react, and just, you know, kind of what was the feel?
There was some apprehension, you know, the night before going to bed. You know, there are a lot of unknowns. You're not sure exactly what's going to happen when you get there. But the actual travel, the whole experience was perfectly fine. I did not feel unsafe. Everything is...
Should I say it felt normal?
It did. Everything is pretty much as it used to be. It's just, you know... Our reality has changed a little bit. So there are, you know, there's signage about COVID and you need to be wearing your face mask. And the announcements have been put in, you know, the automated announcements keep your eye on your bag, that sort of thing. So that's in now. Really, nothing's changed. I mean, I got on the plane. I was wearing a face mask.
Who wasn't?
On the plane, everyone.
And on the plane, everyone. In the airport, though.
Well, in the airport, all the airports that I flew through, all of them did require some sort of face covering. There were some folks that weren't wearing them.
Any other thoughts about on the plane? You said you were apprehensive ahead of time, but when you got to the airport and you got on the plane, did they? How about the boarding? They've talked about boarding the planes all different ways, front to back, back to front,
in the side. I experienced all of them.
Okay.
So I had three separate flights, and indeed, they did it three different ways.
Service, drinks,
okay,
peanuts.
Fend for yourself. If you're in economy, they give you a bag that will have like a cookie and your little bag of pretzels in it. They only will serve sealed drinks, so they're not opening sodas and that sort of thing. And if I remember correctly, in economy, it was just the little bottles of water.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, again, they were closed. Everything was just passed out. As far as, like, the first class, I saw that they were getting snack packs, that sort of thing, but no hot meals. And one flight, as soon as we got on, they said there's going to be no service today.
Did you see people getting on with their hand, with their, you know, and spraying their seat or, you know, drinking bleach or anything like that?
Okay. So as you get on, the flight attendant that's always standing there saying, welcome aboard, they hand you this tiny little Purell wipe. And yes, people were meticulously cleaning. And again, I got to say, I noticed it was the ladies that were cleaning and taking care of things. Men, you know, were bums.
Chris, did you see people wearing anybody wearing gloves? Flight attendants.
Well, like at the airport, the food service workers and that sort of thing, they had gloves on, and of course they were wearing gloves and they picked up the trash. I mean, they always do that. But as far as the service, no, they didn't have gloves on when they were passing out the items. As far as passengers, I only actually saw one person the whole day that was wearing gloves going to the airport, which, as you know, is pointless.
I hear they've disabled the emergency alarms in the airport now, and instead of using the alarms, they just ask someone to sneeze, and that clears the whole building immediately.
Actually, at the airports, that's something we should talk about. So the crowds are way down. It was pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually get to a gate. You could get to the restrooms. Everything you need to do, much easier. The crowds are definitely
concession
down.
Line shorter.
Absolutely.
Concessions open.
Well, grab and go type stuff. So, like yesterday, I grabbed a Pizza Hut personal pan pizza because it was, you know, you could just take the box.
Did you pay for
it? Swipe the card and go.
You just took the box.
You know, don't worry about that. This is radio. So, your sit down restaurants. I noticed in Denver, all the sit down restaurants, they were closed. And they had actually removed the furniture so that people couldn't go in and sit around a table together and congregate. In Chicago, the gate areas are really cramped. It's just a really bad design. They've taken a lot of those seats out and they've lined them up down the concourse so that you're not sitting face to face with someone. Everybody's got their backs to each other in just a straight line. So that, you know, little changes like that, but again, this is our new normal.
So quickly, TSA security?
Absolutely the same. The only difference is I did not have to hand over my boarding pass.
Okay.
I had both a paper copy and my phone, because I wasn't sure
right.
how that was going to work. This was in Richmond. They took my ID. He scanned it, and I guess somehow knew that I was going to be flying that day. But I did hear him say to the person in front of us, yeah, we've just updated the equipment. But uh-huh. I don't know much about that.
Well, Sid and Dale from TSA are going to follow you here on the program. So I just wanted to, did it feel like that the TSA folks were, you know, I mean, they say they're trying to social distance and stuff in their workplace. Obviously, there aren't as many people going through an airport, so maybe this isn't quite the time to compare apples to apples, because if you've only got 15% as many people flying, things are going to be more calm and under control.
Right,
flights
right.
are on time, etc. So,
as far as the agents, it was a normal experience.
Mm-hmm.
It really was.
Okay.
I mean, there was nothing about it that would raise any alarms.
Chris, we're talking with Chris Galloway, by the way, from Sports Leisure Vacations, one of our reporters who has just had the opportunity to fly in an airplane. What a novel thing to do this past week. And Chris is kind of sharing with us, you went through Chicago and Denver and started in Richmond.
Richmond, Virginia.
So before we let you go, any one thing that we haven't talked about, anything that you would tell people, any wisdom you would share? You're going to the airport. It's going to be fairly normal, except there are not as many people.
my advice is just stay calm, because the things you imagine in your head are way worse than any of the realities that I saw yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, just take it step by step. It's really all the same with a face mask.
Just get up and go to the airport, put a mask on, go to the airport, do what they tell you.
And one other thing I noticed, the planes are spick and span. They've had all this time. They are clean.
Yeah.
Chris, I don't know if we mentioned at the beginning you flew United. What was the capacity on the plane? Were there half as many?
Oh,
what
yeah.
did it look like, and how was your spacing? Did you have somebody in the middle seat?
The most crowded flight I had was from Denver to Sacramento. I'd say the plane was easily 3/4 of the way full. Once people got in and got seated, they were using the middle seats, but they made an announcement that if you wanted to spread out a little bit, put some distance between you and the person you're with or whatnot, that you could, and people did. You know, the first flight of the day from Richmond, there were 19 people on the plane, so that wasn't an issue. From Chicago to Denver, I would say the plane was probably about 2/3 full. And again, same deal. They were seating the middle seat.
What about lines in terminals and stuff like that? I mean, were people social distancing at all, or were they...
Actually, yeah, that's funny you bring that
like
up.
Like TSA line.
And... like around the gates, you know, everybody likes to go crowd and just wait to be the first to get that ticket scanned.
Exactly.
They're not doing that. And they're making announcements saying, please, folks, just sit and wait. When it's your turn, come up. But again, with that whole boarding 5 rows at a time from the back, that really facilitated, you know, not long lines and that sort of thing. But yeah, even going down the jetway, people were being respectful and allowing distance, obviously not 6 feet.
Right.
But, you know, everybody was mindful of it. And I think that's about all we can ask right now.
You bet. That's everybody show a little courtesy. Oh, do I have my speaker on? Okay, hold on a second.
Yeah, that's okay. There, just for those of you who we're still being socially distanced here, and so Tom's his studio at his house, and I'm at the Sports Leisure Vacations office studio, and Luis, hi, Luis. Luis is over on the other side of town. It's we wave and I stand on the car and I'm right in the right spot. I think he can see me.
Okay. Without the distraction in the background, you know, that's about all we can do is show some courtesy. You know, I think Dale and Sid will speak to that when we have their interview with the two guys that work for the TSA coming up in regards to the demeanor of how people are handling themselves in the TSA line and at the airport.
Chris is returning home, returning back to Richmond today, and he sent me a picture from O'Hare, from the C concourse at O'Hare, which is United's big concourse at O'Hare. He took one picture one way and one picture the other way. Crickets.
Wow.
Okay. Crickets. On Sunday afternoon. I'm going to Seattle on Wednesday. And coming back Friday night. So we're hoping we have a tour up to Puget Sound in mid-July. So I've got to go up there and make sure that the restaurants can accommodate us and that everything is going to be okay for us before I take 23 people up there.
Now, are you you got a stash of masks? Have you figured out? You know how you planned a X number of pairs of socks and underwear and so forth? Now you gotta. How many masks are you going to need?
and you know you have to be. I mean, you want your mask to be just plain white. I mean, you have to have some make some sort of fashion statement. You know, if you're going to Seattle, you should have a mask with trees on the front, or you know, something like that. But anyway,
you got the Sports Leisure Vacation logo.
There you go. Hey, listen, you know, Dale and Sid are coming up next, and I just wanted to comment on how lucky we are to have. You know, TSA, I listen to other travel shows. We're really lucky to have the TSA folks talk to us. We can pick up the phone and call them and they will you know, sure. Yeah, guys, whatever you need. So that's kind of cool. I think it's a cool thing. It makes TSA look a little bit better, I think.
It does. And we so appreciate the courtesy and the time that they give us. In fact, let's take a short break. We'll be back and spend some time with Dale and Sid from the TSA, part of our Homeland Security group there. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
It
there. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as promised, our friends from the TSA, Sid, Hannah, and Dale Keller. Welcome back to the Travel Guys, Sid and Dale. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Definitely. Thank you, guys.
Hey, guys, we want to talk to you a little bit about how, you know, not very many people are flying now, but I just noticed today that American Airlines says that they had 27% higher bookings this past week than they've had any week since the COVID thing kind of spiraled in mid-March. They say for the first time they've had two consecutive weeks with more bookings than cancellations. So they are upping their flight schedule a little bit for the month of July and a little bit more for the month of August. So that seems to indicate that at least as long as things stay under control, more people are going to be flying. And you guys are doing things a little bit differently at the airport now. So tell our listeners what's different and why they shouldn't be all that terribly concerned.
Well, the biggest thing that we're looking at the security checkpoint is maintaining distance between individuals. You know, families obviously stay close together. But what we want to do is reduce touch points with passengers. We're actually encouraging the passengers to do things that they would have never done pre-COVID-19. And that's like they'll scan their own boarding pass, for instance. And, you know, when they go through the x-ray, they forget to take out a bottle of water. If we're able to, we'll just walk them back out where they can remove the stuff themselves rather than TSA going through their bag. You know, that's some procedural things there. But you also see that all the officers are wearing face masks. Some are wearing some, you know, eye protection, some face shields. Incredible cleaning going on at the checkpoints by not only TSA, the airport, and the airlines. And you know, we're always encouraging the social distancing.
Do you guys, just as a curiosity item here, and maybe this is not something that you can answer on the air, but have we had any TSA agents in Sacramento become ill?
No. You know, everybody's had their concerns, close calls, testing, you know, but TSA Sacramento and our spokes have had no active cases of COVID-19. Knock on wood.
Excellent. Excellent. That is good news.
Definitely.
Gentlemen, in regards to pre-check, still up and running for those that have pre-check?
Yeah, pre-check is still running. We do everything we can to have a lane that's just completely for pre-check passengers, understanding that our numbers have dropped. So we put that into consideration. We do something also called blended lanes, where we still keep the pre-check queue line available. So somebody that has pre-check will come through the pre-check queue, go to one ticket checker, and then blend them into the regular standard lanes. And that's like if we have a couple of pre-check passengers within an hour, and we don't need to open up a completely lane, that still gives them to the front of the line access. It works great. We still try to keep it under 5 minutes for our pre-check passengers.
If you have
and with that blended lane too, a lot of the same perks, if you will, of pre-check, the passenger gets to enjoy keeping the shoes on, electronics stay in the bags, things like that. So there are more, definitely more perks to it. It's not the same as having the actual pre-check lane, but the blended lane concept is, given the very low numbers we've had a great deal of success with it.
What about pat down? In other words, you spot something, it shows up on the X-ray, whatever. What's the procedure with that kind of thing this time around?
What we're doing now is we're allowing the passenger, let's say through the advanced image technology, if there's an anomaly on that person that would normally require a pat down in the past, we're allowing them to step back out and remove that item that caused that anomaly. Sometimes it's, you know, cell phone, keys, coins, anything, you know, whatever it might be. And if they're able to remove it, we'll do a rescan. And if there's no anomaly, then the person's clear to go. If they can't further divest something, then we would then have to conduct a physical pat down of that area.
Tell us, what can we do to help you? I have the advantage of talking to you on the phone, but we have several thousand people listening to us right now. So what can we do to help you at the checkpoint? I mean, we know all about the arranging things and stuff like that, but I'm talking about more of this, the COVID thing, and how can we protect each other? What can we do to help your officers when we're passing through security?
You know, one of the main things is the social distancing, you know, respecting that, you know, not getting up in the face of the officers, if, especially if you're not wearing a mask yourself, doing, you know, treating them the same as you want to be treated. And, you know, the biggest thing with this virus is there's so many unknowns. That's why we wear the face protection and the mask and everything. And, you know, we'd like to see the same from our passengers. So the social distancing, if possible, wear a mask. You know, I know that's not required by everybody, but if you can, great. And, you know, always, as always, be patient. You know, things are changing. We're doing the best we can. Thankfully, we, you know, the loads are light, so things are moving rather quickly, but we are increasing. You know, Sacramento's traffic is higher than the other similar sized airports in, you know, Northern California, and we're doing very well. So there might be some of those days where we get surprised and there's a little bit longer than a 10-minute wait. But yeah, for the most part, just recognize the social distancing or respect social distancing and the normal procedures that you would normally do with all the COVID procedures.
If you're just joining us, we are the Travel Guys. We're visiting with Sid Hanna and Dale Keller with the TSA. Work right here out of the Sacramento area. They're our friends. They're our neighbors. They're part of what we do. Gentlemen, with all the precautions that we're having to take with the COVID-19 and all, is there any concern that in any way that we are letting down our guard in regards to protecting us from bad people ending up on airplanes doing bad things?
You know, I would honestly say just the opposite. While we've had the reduced passenger throughput, we're taking advantage of that and actually increasing other measures that we do at the airport and other locations kind of behind the scenes. Some are visible, some are not visible, but we're really ramping up our programs that we have for looking out for the insider threats. You know, we make sure that we've all but doubled how we used to do that during the slow times. And then, you know, with the actual procedures being placed, we have a lot of trust and confidence in them. And again, a great deal of training has gone into that with the officers.
I also believe that with the social distancing, giving our officers a lot more time to focus on what they need to do. If it's the image or the pat down of a passenger, they're not feeling the rush as they usually do with, you know, the volume that we had before. So with the decrease in volume, it's helping us to stay focused on that one passenger one at a time and not to feel the rush. So I honestly think it's better right now what we're doing.
One thing I'll tell you is the passengers and social distancing, they're doing a good job without...
They're managing themselves.
Yeah, they're managing themselves very, very well.
I'm glad to hear that, gentlemen.
Check with the airline, of course. Some of these rules change from airline to airline. So definitely make sure you do your homework. Find out what your specific airline requires. For us at TSA, we're going to have the protective gear that we need on, but face masks or gloves or anything, double check with your airlines and see what they require.
And since virtually every airline is requiring a mask of its passengers, why not return that favor to the TSA person that you're going to interact with and protect them? Since they are protecting you while wearing a mask, maybe you could protect them and return the favor. Guys, thanks again for being so generous with your time. If anything comes up that you think our folks need to know about, why, you know where to find us, and otherwise you can expect to hear from us as things gear up here a little bit later on in the summer.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, Tom, we're going to have to take those guys up on their offer to go out there and look around a little bit. They gave us an offer to go out and tour and find out the whole thing. You know, we could find out how to smuggle people onto airplanes or whatever you could do, I guess. Maybe not. That's probably not what they want us to say. Anyways, thank you to Sid and Dale for doing a great job for us there. Thomas? We lost Thomas. So what do we got here, Luis? Still a little bit more time? About 30 seconds. All right. Well, let's remind our listeners then that you can catch our podcast. You can sign up for the podcast at travelguysradio.com. You can also find the links to things from the show today and other cool things that we put up there from time to time that we don't always have an opportunity to mention on the show. So you can catch up with us there. We'll be back at 3:00 next Sunday. Until then, dance like nobody's watching. Thanks for being a part of our program today.